The mayor's in the house.
Yeah, I saw.
Nancy Berry's here this morning. How are you today?
I'm terrific. Glad to be here. Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, 2012 off to a good start. Do you watch Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives? Do you watch that on the Food Network?
I don't watch TV.
Oh, are you one of those?
No.
We used to have a council member who didn't even have a TV. I remember that.
I have TV.
Okay.
Well,
do you watch your son? Do you check in every once in a while and make sure he's doing okay?
I do on Sunday mornings, yeah.
Okay, is he on Sunday mornings? Okay.
Not
I saw
anymore.
Him the other day. I just didn't know.
Now football season's over.
Regular season's over.
Yeah, so. But, yeah, he's on... a minute here and a minute there SportsCenter or whatever.
I got you. So anyway, well, because I was asking because, we're big fans.
Good. Yeah, I should start watching this.
I'm a big fan, too.
They got this guy named Guy Fieri who has spiked hair and he's peroxided it, so it's white. And what he does is he goes around to these places that are out of the way.
He's been to Hullabaloo.
He has.
That's right.
Yeah, he has.
Is he kind of like a diner critic?
It's called Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. And, yeah, he tries different things.
I've been to a lot of those kinds of places.
Okay, see, and that's the thing. And he tries to tell you that, for instance, when you go to Hullabaloo, this is the special you need to get. And he goes back in the kitchen and helps the guy or gal fix something and samples it and always says, it's the best thing he's ever had.
Yeah.
So now expanding his brand, as you always should, he's got a line of biker jewelry now.
Oh.
All right.
Biker jewelry, yeah.
Is he selling it at Harley-Davidson's
or something? Yeah, he probably ought to do that. Chunky silver pieces that look like dog tags, and they have cufflinks and bracelets as well. He designed the jewelry himself. Oh, sure he did. So, anyway.
Well, I have poodles, so I don't know that they'd be into that, heavy chain stuff, because they're kind of girly dogs.
Yeah, okay, they probably wouldn't go for that.
Nah, I don't think so.
And then this story, which kind of leads right into one of the things I want to talk to you about, Japan has developed a new turbine design that will make wind power far more attractive as an energy alternative. Oh, sure it will. It's called wind lens turbines, which can produce triple the amount of energy of the conventional design. Kyosho University. We're playing them in like 16.
19.
19, is it 19?
Yeah, 19. Right. We're going to meet them.
Is that in ping pong?
Yeah.
We're going to meet them in Hawaii.
That's it. They believe as mayor, I believe that I should accompany the team, right. They believe that wind farms with these lens turbines can generate the same amount of power as a nuclear plant. That's so wrong.
You seen the research?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
But again, but as we know, you can make research do anything.
Cut them some slack.
That's it.
Yeah.
Earlier this week, yesterday, I guess we had the story that Japan, in fact, has said that they're going to take all of their nuclear reactors offline in 40 years because of the problem they had with Fukushima, which I guess would make sense. But that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about today is the College Station early on weighed in very heavily on the idea of wind watts, the idea that there's wind-generated energy that you can buy as either part of or, I guess, all of your energy bill. That was a few years ago.
Right.
Where are we with that now?
Well, funny you should ask.
Okay.
This council, this fall, asked to have that program looked at. When it was originally started several years ago, and I don't believe any of our current council members, except maybe Mr. Rusink, was on the council at that time, it was a premium service. You could get 10 or 50 or increments of 10% up to all of your power provided by the wind. But there was a surcharge on it that also went to a tree program. So people, the reaction or the acceptance of the wind watts program was not what staff had hoped, because I think people didn't want to pay the surcharge. I mean, your utility bill is high to begin with. You don't want to slap on some extra. And utility fees are, look at the gas prices at the pump. They've been up in the last couple of years. Our cost of gas is up as well. And so... And you can't depend 100% on wind because we really don't have the transmission lines in place and the infrastructure needed for it. So we asked to look at it again to see if we can offer the wind watts like we offer regular utility service without that surcharge. And then just like if you still get a telephone bill, there's a little checkoff if you want a dollar for literacy or something. And we can do that if you want to add a dollar or $2 to the tree program, but make it optional as opposed to
mandatory
as part of the wind watts. So Where we're going to go from here, I'm not sure, but I think sometime this spring, staff is going to come back to us with the WinWatts program and a variety of different options on how we can adopt it. Because right now, we have 6 commercial customers that subscribe to the program and 506 residential, and that's a lot below the original estimates.
Well, and that's not even 100%. That's a percentage of, right? It could be like 10%
of
their power.
I think some of those people do have 100%, but exactly what number, I don't know.
Now, to paraphrase what John Crompton had said when he was on council was, he believed that the WinWatts was important as an entree to other energy conservation moves that a city could take. If this WinWatts thing is not working, does that then in some ways endanger some other initiatives for green or energy that the city is going to take on, in your view?
I don't think so. I think, you know, you have to look at each one separately and say, what's the benefits? You know, what are the negatives? Is this something that we believe that our citizens want? You know, no one's going to be converted to WinWatts without, you know, signing up for it. So the fact that the program hasn't been what everybody had hoped it to be was the reason that this council says, let's go back and look at it and see what our other options are and discuss them and have public forum on it.
True. Some of the things that Mayor Nancy Berry of College Station joining us, some of the things that make Bryan and College Station different. Bryan's power is generated from BTU, which is part of the city but separate. There's been some discussion, and Jason Bianski was in last week. We were discussing the automated meters that they are putting in for electricity, and they're also looking at a similar type automated meter for their water as well. Is this anything that the city of College Station have they brought it to you to at least look at? Is College Station headed down that road?
I don't know if we're headed down that road. I know that Dave Coleman, our director of water services, is looking into that. So depending upon what he finds, he'll probably bring that information to the management team and then on to council.
Because, again, there's a capital expenditure, obviously, up front because you got to put in new. But the thing is, I'm thinking that I'll venture to say that there's more transmission line growth in water in College Station than there is in Bryan. The idea is if you want to bring that up to future standards, you might want to put automated meters or whatever in infrastructure that you're adding now, as opposed to having to go back and retrofit.
Right. I mean, I think that's always the case. Whenever you look at something new, you look at what's the latest technology and what's the cost benefit. And there's some things that may be front-loaded cost, but, you know, at the end of the day, you've saved money. An example is we recently bought some trucks and we bought hybrids. Now, the cost is a little bit more up front, but over the life of the vehicle, we're going to save money on gas. And, of course, we don't know what the gas prices are going to be, but they haven't been going down.
Mm-hmm.
So staff said, you know, well, over the 10-year life of the car or truck, we're going to save money, but up front we're paying a little bit more. So we went with a hybrid. So case by case.
Sure, exactly. What do you got going on?
Well, wanted to tell you we've got, if I can get to the second page.
Okay, you brought your list of things, yeah?
I did. Okay, here we go. Well, you know, Monday is MLK Day,
yes.
So city offices are closed,
okay.
But sanitation recycle operations will continue. There's going to be a wonderful musical tribute for Martin Luther King at the Lincoln Recreation Center this Saturday. I have been to this in the past and planning on being there this week, and it's just a fun evening, and encourage people to come. It's called Keeping the Dream Alive. It'll be a musical tribute. A number of local churches, choirs participate, and it's a fun evening. That will be at the Lincoln Recreation Center at 1000 Eleanor Street. And then we're having a Learn to Fish event.
Well, so, you put a hook in the water. Put something on the hook and put it in the water, right?
Well, don't you have to have a pole?
Oh, yeah, I guess you better do that.
I mean, some people's arms aren't as long as yours.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but we will be providing equipment and bait.
Fun.
And no fishing licenses required if you're under 17. And so go look at our city website, cstx.gov, and the information will be there. And that's going to be, the event is going to be on Saturday from 9 to 12 at uh, Beachy Central Park.
Now, and there is no truth to the rumor that you tie your own flies, right? You don't do that, right? No.
Okay. No.
All right.
If I get a fly, I use a fly swatter. Okay.
Mayor Nancy Berry from College Station, thanks for joining us this morning.
Always a pleasure.
We visit with the mayors on alternate Wednesdays on News Talk 1620 WTAW.